evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza on this pre-recorded program via remote from Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today. President Salva Kiir's former legal advisor dies after contracting COVID-19. And health experts in South Sudan say the weekend peace concert was not approved by a COVID-19 technical team.
The PHEOC is advising such practices not to happen at this time because we have second phase. Or at least the health authorities should be involved when there is such activities in the country.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir's former long-time legal advisor and former South Sudan ambassador to Russia, Tilar Deng, died on Sunday after contracting COVID-19. On December 24th, Deng posted on his Facebook page he was diagnosed with corona and admitted into the infectious disease unit in Juba. South Sudanese community continue to pay tribute to late Deng, who is hailed as a political strategist and a leader in Ural County. Still on COVID, South African government says it is disappointed by a perception created by its counterpart in the United Kingdom that a COVID variant identified in South Africa is driving infections in Britain. British scientists themselves say the UK's current wave of infections is, in fact, being partly caused by a new coronavirus lineage found there as early as September. Scientists from across the world say there is no evidence that the South African variant is any more or less dangerous than Britain's. For VOA News, Darren Taylor reports from Johannesburg.
Last week, the UK confirmed two cases of the mutation recently identified in South Africa in residents who had returned from the country. This prompted Britain's Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, to brief the media in London.
This new variant is highly concerning because it is yet more transmissible and it appears to have mutated further than the new variant that's been discovered in the UK.
Scientists say this statement contains two inaccuracies. Firstly, there's no evidence that South Africa's COVID-19 variant is more transmissible or more infectious than the UK's. Secondly, there's no evidence that the South African type has mutated further, as Hancock put it. One of Britain's leading virus experts, Professor Neil Ferguson, has told a parliamentary committee it's the UK variant that's likely spread further afield, not South Africa's.
The fact they picked up 10 cases of this new variant in a country as small as Denmark with a relatively low infection rate would suggest, almost certainly in my view, that this virus has been introduced into the great majority, if not all, of European countries at the current time.
Ferguson, an epidemiologist, also says he's concerned about the rhetoric that the South African variant may cause more serious illness and even death. He says there's no evidence of this. Nevertheless, the UK government has banned flights from South Africa. That's pretty pointless, says Dr. Richard Lessels, a specialist in genetic sequencing and one of the scientists who identified the South African variant in a laboratory in Durban.
What we saw at the beginning of the epidemic in many parts of the world was these travel bans actually had limited impact because there was already more spread than you were detecting. And that's likely to be the case here, that there's probably already been more spread than we know about at the moment. We won't be surprised if in the next couple of weeks or so we start detecting the UK variant here in South Africa.
Lessel says there's no need to play a blame game. Virus mutations are common and are likely all over the world right now. It's just that they haven't been identified yet.
Part of the reason for this is that South Africa and the UK have amongst the strongest genomic surveillance systems in the world. So we're doing this systematic tracking of the virus, regularly sequencing the virus from different parts of the country to see how it's evolving over time.
He adds that most countries do limited or no sequencing of viruses.
That makes it very challenging to understand the spread, the dissemination of these new variants. really the finding both here in South Africa and the UK is really highlighting how important this genomic surveillance is to inform the public health response around the world.
South Africa's Health Minister Zweli Mkhize responded to his British counterpart's incorrect assertions with a calm and measured statement, which said they were concerning. But South African government sources have told VOA that both Mkhize and President Cyril Ramaphosa are angered by Hancock's comments, describing them as irresponsible, with the potential to fuel discrimination against South Africans residing in Britain. For VOA News, I'm Darren Taylor in Johannesburg.
Health experts in South Sudan are criticizing the organizers of a music concert for peace, where thousands of South Sudanese gathered in Juba over the weekend in clear violation of COVID-19 protocols. For VOA News, Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from Juba.
Some health experts in South Sudan say the weekend music concert in Juba, where Tanzanian music star Diamond Platinum performed, attracted thousands of residents, including President Kiir, to Dr. John Garang Mycelium, a clear violation of COVID-19 preventive directives issued by South Sudan's Health Ministry. While health organization guidelines such as social distancing, wearing face masks in public, taking temperatures, or hand washing at the entrance were ignored by the majority of concert goers. President Kiir and other VIPs, including the governor of Central Equatoria State, were wearing face masks. Dr. Angelo Guop Quoch, director for Public Health Emergency Operations Center that manages COVID-19 cases in South Sudan, says the gathering at Dr. John Garang Mycelium was not advisable.
The PHEOC is advising such practices not to happen at this time because we have second phase, or at least the health authorities should be involved when there is such activities in the country. Because of the crowd and all this, we would be happy to be part of it so that we make sure the preventive measures are put in place.
While health organization epidemiologist in South Sudan, Dr. Joseph Wamala, says a new strain of COVID-19 has emerged, which can spread more easily and could complicate matters very quickly in South Sudan.
The identification of this new strain is really a reason for countries to reinforce measures to limit spread through the recommended measures using masks, observing respiratory etiquette.
As of December 27, South Sudan confirmed 6 new cases, 1 death, and a total of 3,511 cases so far. South Sudan Ministry of Health spokesperson Dr. Toy Loy says COVID-19 is present in South Sudan.
We appeal to them that they should consistently adhere to measures against COVID-19, because COVID-19 is here and people are dying of COVID-19. And right now, as we speak, we have some people who are in critical condition in our facility, affected by COVID-19. So COVID-19 is real. Now, whether we are going to go to the stage of asking the law enforcement agencies to ensure that measures against COVID-19 are adhered to, implemented by the public, I still don't know. But it is our appeal that through the media, that the public listen.
Dr. Loy says Sunday's concert, which brought thousands of people together, was not approved by the COVID-19 technical team.
And so those things are happening in absolute violations of what we are, our declared position as Minister of Health and our official position as Minister of Health. We have never advocated for a crowd to happen where people are not abiding to the measure against COVID-19.
Loy says the weekend concert, unlike other public gatherings, did not put in place preventive measures required for a big crowd. One of the concert organizers, who preferred to remain anonymous, says the concert was organized by the K2 company belonging to the brother of South Sudanese businesswoman Achai Weir, and that it was difficult to maintain COVID-19 preventive measures because turnout, estimated at 100,000 people, was far more than organizers had anticipated. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Some South Sudanese who took refuge in the neighboring Uganda and Democratic Republic of Congo have returned home from refugee camps. Some of the returning families say celebrating Christmas at home with relatives was a nice experience. For VOA News, Daniel Friday Martin reports from Yei.
Samuel Soro, a refugee who recently returned from Uganda's Rhino camp to Yei, says he has been busy repairing his grass-thatched house so that he can settle down his family of six. He says it felt good to celebrate Christmas with his family members back in Yei town.
I found my houses are all down and I am starting a new journey to reconstruct my family. My biggest challenge is lack of financial support to start a new life. However, I am happy to celebrate Christmas back home.
Onesta Yukuya, another South Sudanese who returned a few days from the Democratic Republic of Congo to celebrate Christmas back home, says the economic and political crisis facing South Sudan will not stop her from participating in her country's reconstruction.
I am very happy to be in my home country because staying in the refugee camp is different compared to my original home country. Here things are indeed hard, but staying in my home own country has given me great happiness, and my message to the people is that let us celebrate Christmas in peace and love as one community.
More than 10,000 South Sudanese have voluntarily returned from Uganda and DRC, according to the Office of the Relief and Rehabilitation Commission. Peter Said Morjan, paramount chief for Yei River County, urges families returning home to coexist peacefully with people who did not leave Yei during the 2016 conflict in the country.
People are returning, and we should not hear that returnees are having problems with those who remained in Yei, and for those who occupied houses of returnees, should vacate them because we are governed by laws and we need people to celebrate Christmas in peace.
Victoria Nasra Augustine, Director General for Gender and Social Development in Yei River County, is appealing to the government and its partners to address some of the basic needs of families who have voluntarily returned home.
We know very well that some of them, their houses are not longer there. They don't have somewhere to stay. And also the government should make sure that those returnees, they should be given shelters. Let me say the carpets for them to put where they are going to stay.
The Secretary General of the former Yei River State says he welcomes the families returning home from the camps. Amule Felix is calling for reconciliation and peace.
It is my belief that we celebrate in peace, love, and joy. It is also a moment to forgive and reconcile with one another, and therefore, let us leave the past and pick on a new relationship of love with one another.
Amule says the transitional government of national unity is working for peace and stability to create a conducive environment for families returning home from refuge in other countries. For VOA News, I am Daniel Friday Martin in Yei.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Christians in Sudan are praising the transitional government. Find out why after this break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
when you are upset, would you rather be alone or with others?
I'd rather be alone, because sometimes being with people demands a lot from someone's self.
When you stress up, there's no need of being alone, because when you are with others, at least they can advise you.
When I'm upset, actually, being alone is not a good thing. So at least I have to associate with my colleague, and I end up releasing that anger from me.
I prefer being alone when I'm upset, yeah, because at least when I'm alone, I regain some humor that I, when at least I go in public, I can talk with someone now. But when I'm still pissed, I can't talk to anyone.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water, or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Sudanese Christians are praising the transitional government for restoring peace and stability after the ouster of former President Omar al-Bashir in April 2019. A Sudanese religious leader says Sudan has a bright future if politicians work for peace, economic reforms, and allow more religious freedoms. For VOA News, Michael Atit reports from Khartoum.
Thousands of Catholics at St. Matthew Cathedral sing Christian hymn during Christmas Mass in Khartoum last week. Archbishop Michael Didi, who presided over the Mass, called on the Sudanese to embrace peace, love and unity. He says Christmas should be a time for renewal of faith and reconciling one another. The Archbishop of the Khartoum Archdiocese applauded the transitional government and armed groups for reaching a peace deal this year and silencing guns in some parts of the country. He says Sudan is a land of potential, adding that peace means development.
Despite our differences and even of opinions, and we can call tribes and so on, but we must find a way out to live together because it is necessary and it is vital that we live together because we are in the same home. We cannot just be fighting throughout and then we will not enjoy the good things that the Lord provided us in our country. We will waste time in fighting, and especially the youth. The youth should find a way, a better life for themselves and for their future.
Archbishop Didi called on holdout groups to engage in negotiations so that lasting peace can prevail in Sudan. Teresina Rizik, who hails from the Nuba Mountains in southern Kordofan State, says her area has seen war and destruction. She says the war has particularly affected vulnerable groups such as the elderly, children and women.
We are always praying for the peace to come on the Nuba Mountain because the people there are suffering. From this time, I hope all the people there to live the peace there in Nuba Mountain or here in Sudan also, especially the women. Because the women, the women, they are complaining always because there is no peace there. The world is not good for us.
Another Sudanese citizen, Alwin Joseph, says he is happy to see the Sudanese transitional government make December 25th a public holiday in Sudan. He says the government should grant more freedoms to allow Sudanese to choose their religion.
Peace must be put down in the ground so as to, as the people of Sudan, to live the benefit of peace in their life, in their future. Through the peace, we can see, we can hope the good things for the future. We can build our foundation is peacefully and good for the future.
Lillian Peter Abdurrahman, a resident of Shabia neighborhood of Khartoum North, says the government needs to focus on economic reforms. Peter says it has been a challenge to shop for Christmas gifts for her three children due to high prices in the market. Peter says the general economic situation in Sudan is not good, but says they are living by the grace of Jesus Christ. She says, we lived with love, trust, and faith that this situation will one day come to an end. So our prayer is always that God will change this situation for the better, Peter says. The transitional government designated Christmas Day a public holiday for the second time amid pressure from the Trump administration, which has asked Sudan to grant religious freedoms in the country. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
The United Nations Children's Fund says a quarter of a million displaced children in Mozambique's conflict-ridden Cabo Delgado province are at the risk of deadly diseases with the onset of the rainy season. For VOA News, Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva.
Children account for nearly half of the more than 530,000 people who have been forced to flee their homes in the face of escalating violence in Mozambique's northern province of Cabo Delgado. UNICEF says children have faced many dangers over the past 2 years, including a devastating cyclone, flooding, drought, and economic hardships brought on by the COVID-19 pandemic. UNICEF spokeswoman Marixi Mercado tells VOA these children now are threatened with an outbreak of deadly waterborne diseases such as diarrhea and cholera and the further spread of the coronavirus. She says severely malnourished children in particular are at great risk.
Because basically, severe acute malnutrition is a potentially life-threatening condition, particularly for children who are already sick with malaria or measles, which exists in Cabo Delgado. So children who are suffering from other conditions can be up to 9 or 10 times as likely to die as a normal child would be from severe acute malnutrition.
UNICEF says 2 out of every 5 children in the province are chronically malnourished. Mercado notes these children require therapeutic treatment and specialized care to survive. UNICEF, she says, is sending mobile health teams to screen children for their nutritional status and provide treatment for severe cases.
We're also, I think, very worried about children who've been exposed to high-risk situations and have seen or experienced physical and psychological violence. And for this, it's crucial that we strengthen the protection response for these children, which includes psychosocial support and really long-term, you know, support and care.
UNICEF is appealing for nearly $53 million to respond to the most urgent humanitarian needs in Mozambique over the coming year. This includes $30 million for the particularly acute needs in Cabo Delgado. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
Ugandan police on Sunday asked for digital evidence to assist in their investigation into the events that resulted in the injury of 3 journalists as police attempted to disperse supporters of opposition presidential candidate Robert Kyagulanyi, also known as Bobi Wine. In another development, Uganda's Monitor reported Sunday that Bobi Wine had to suspend his campaign appearance scheduled for Sunday in 2 towns. For VOA News, Alima Thumani reports from Kampala.
In a video posted online, musician-turned-politician Bobi Wine is heard telling a police officer he is headed to Rwengo District for a rally after leaving a church service in Masaka District. A confrontation ensues and police spray tear gas on Wine's car and those around him.
We are going to Rwengo. You are taking a lot of our time.
As Wine's vehicle goes into reverse, more tear gas is fired. Cameraman Ashraf Kasirie, who is doing a live shot for Ghetto TV, folds, reportedly after a rubber bullet strikes him just above his left eye. People start screaming.
The police and President Museveni's government is afraid of seeing Kyagulanyi getting the support.
Kasiri was rushed to a local hospital before being transferred to Kampala for further treatment. He is reported to be in critical condition. Ali Mivule, a television journalist with NTV, was reporting from the scene when he was surrounded by police and the military, who then started dispersing the crowds using the tear gas and rubber bullets. Mivule accused the police commanding officer, whom he identified as Enoch Avaine, of then turning his tear gas gun on journalists.
I had a full body armor and I had the headgear. I was fully identified as a journalist, but all of a sudden, Avaine pointed the tear gas gun at me and shouted collateral damage. Poo! And he didn't even hold back. Again, he cocked that tear gas gun and then pointed at us.
Police say their task force had violent confrontations with Wine and his supporters after he ignored the route plan. Charles Twine is a spokesperson for the Criminal Investigations Department.
Unfortunately, and most regrettably, some journalists were caught up in a scuffle during the process of dispersing the violent supporters. Notable among them was a Ghetto TV crew member identified as Ashraf Kasilie, who sustained an injury on his upper left eye, allegedly from a blunt object force.
Police say their media crimes department is investigating the circumstances regarding the journalist's injuries. Robert Sempala, national coordinator of the Human Rights Network for Journalists, is urging police to take stern action against any security personnel found to have deliberately attacked journalists. Sempala notes that in the past, security forces attacking journalists have not been held accountable, saying impunity for such crimes is entrenched. The violence in Masaka District comes just a day after the Electoral Commission cancelled campaign events in 10 districts, including Masaka, many of them opposition strongholds. The commission stated that this was done on the advice of the Ministry of Health, identifying them as hotspots for COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. Last week, the Committee to Protect Journalists said Ugandan authorities should ensure that the press can freely cover the presidential election scheduled for January 14. The CPJ cited accreditation hurdles faced by journalists ahead of the vote. Halima Athmani for VA News, Kampala.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and U.S. Centers for Disease Control say coughing and sneezing can spread COVID-19. Physical distancing, staying at least 1 meter away from people outside your family, can protect everyone. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
That's our show for this Monday. We'd like to welcome our listeners on RMC Radio 101.5 FM in Nimule to the VOA affiliate stations across South Sudan. We are glad our listeners in the border town of Nimule can now enjoy live programming from the Voice of America. We now leave you with the song Wodini by Delma 2K featuring 13 Battalion.
You got the advice. 13 Battalion, Dalema 2K, just roll on the beat, roll it!
Nabigali kondemete ilevesi, Azamari. Nabigali suya, ilevesi, Azamari. Nabigali kondelinye televesi, Azamari. Nabigali, Azamari. Linye zatu, Azamari. Mwe zatu, Azamari, Azamari, Azamari. Nabigali kondemete ilevesi, Azamari. Nabigali suya, ilevesi, Azamari. Nabigali kondelinye televesi, Azamari. Nabigali, Azamari. Linye zatu, Azamari. Mwe zatu, Azamari, Azamari, Azamari.
Sura tamam oh hiya ya tamam lakini fajawai wala elim nafsa makalam tanyike mwaza tukulu nyike boda boda kulu nyike sikajuba kulu nyike.
We've been listening to Delma 2K with the song Wodini. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for allowing us into your vehicles, homes and phones. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing and wear a mask if you are in public places. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there is no cure for coronavirus. Enjoy your holidays in a responsible manner. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Juba kulubetenya
Gali. Sika moa ezatu ile nyambi Gali. Sika moto ezatu ile nyambi Gali.